allow me just to reminisce a little bit. Now that I'm a little bit older, I might be able to reminisce. But I remember as a child in my local church, every summer our church would send students to Alpine Bible Camp. And from a child, I'd say even probably a year or two before I should have, I went to Bible Camp here. And it was through those times that God used as a camper, that later in my life, as I thought, really seriously contemplated what God wanted me to do, I can still remember coming to Bible Camp and hearing God's Word and just the impact that God's Word made on my heart and life at that age. And I remember one day when I just decided, out of the blue, I went to my dad and I said, "Dad, I think I want to go to that school where I went to summer camp all those years." And God just always spoke to my heart while I was there. And my dad looked. I said, "Dad, can I go?" And my dad looked at me, and I never know what my dad might say, but he looked at me and he said, "Son, I'll remortgage the house to get you there." And he didn't have to do that, but it was from those times. And I can remember going out to the, I don't know if you still have the section there where you have the campfires. And I can still remember it was usually, I believe, at the end of the camp time, they would have those campfires there and special services. And so it was through that God led me here. And during that time I was here, of course, Appalachian Bridal College. I met my wife. No, I'm in Bible College. Not only did I gain a great love and appreciation for the Word of God, but the Lord allowed me to meet Lisa, and we've been about 30 years married now, and God bless us with three children, and I'm really enjoying it now because I have two grandchildren, and I can, I can't wait for more. I just enjoy being a grandpa, and then As you go throughout life, it's interesting how God leads in our lives, and I never want to. We were talking about this in our class the other day. I never want to say, sometimes I think we might say God leads or the Spirit leads, and I think we have to be very cautious sometimes about how we use certain phrases sometimes. But I do believe that God directs our paths, and as we think about the path that God directs for us, I will certainly say this, that we do live in a day and times in which I believe God has directed our paths to be where we're at for this particular time, for such a time as this. And sometimes when we get involved in ministry, and I will say this, even as an Army chaplain, it's easy to allow ourselves to get distracted with all the opposition we face sometimes. And I will say I would agree with the statement of the man that we took, that we find constant sometimes opposition to what we believe. And I will say this, if you are contemplating, especially in the Army, if you are, or any military branch, if you are contemplating, maybe God is leading on your heart to serve as a chaplain. And let me say this, I want to say right from the beginning, we need good chaplains, okay? And I'm not gonna raise the white flag of surrender, because we need good chaplains in the military. And if you think God is calling you into that ministry, I will say this to you, that it is essential for you to understand how that procedure works, and it is essential for you to find an endorsing agent that you agree with their statement of faith, because you will never, or you can never be asked to do anything as a chaplain. You can never be asked to do anything that contradicts the statement of faith of your endorser. And so I say that whenever someone comes to me and says, "Hey, I'm interested in being a chaplain," I always make sure that they have the educational requirements that it requires. It requires 4 years of a undergraduate degree. It doesn't have to be in Bible and theology, but let me say this. I think that there's no better degree to have as an undergraduate degree as a Bible and theology. But then you can you have to have an MDiv, or it can be like a 72 hours in certain specialized courses. You can also qualify and be endorsed and placed into the chaplaincy ministry there. So there are educational requirements, but besides those, it's important that you have an endorser. And I can't say this enough, that you have an endorser, that you understand what they believe and you believe that endorser. How we need biblical endorsers, and how we need young men who will go and who will serve and stand for what they believe in. As I said at the beginning, it's oftentimes we can get frustrated. But I will say this: as we serve the Lord and God directs in this in our ministries, as a chaplain, you have wonderful opportunities to preach God's word. I will say this: that as when I deployed, I noticed that a lot of chaplains did not want to preach, and I never had such a problem. I would, in any opportunity I was given, I would take the chapel ministries, and I shared. There was another man that was a chaplain. He was endorsed by the Southern Baptists. He was a conservative, we would share. He would preach two Sundays a month. I'd preach two Sundays a month, and then I would have other services in other locations. And as you think about Veterans Day and the military, you know, I think as we had those chapels, it was a wonderful opportunity not only to share the gospel, but to encourage people who knew Christ to stand for their faith and to be a testimony for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in those atmospheres, you have to understand, and hopefully this has slowed down, but a lot of those people, as you preach that Sunday afternoon, they may be going into harm's way. There was no guarantee that they would be there at the next chapel service. So I believe every time, I think we use that as an illustration in the military, but I think really as believers, and I think you'll be able to apply a lot of this to whatever we do, you know, as believers, we ought to take that opportunity to share Christ, to share the gospel, because we do not know the next opportunity that we'll have the same group or the same people there to hear again. Last night I was getting ready just to get up to share in our local church. And my phone vibrated, and we had a soldier whose wife was killed in a car wreck. And they asked me if I had responded yet, and I just text. I know you may say you shouldn't text in church, but I understand. But I had just texted real quickly that I would respond as soon as I got done preaching there at church. And so as in a chaplain ministry, you have that opportunity to preach, to share God's word. And when I say preach, understand this. I'm just going to share just some thoughts of the chaplain ministry and then just encourage you from the word. Understand that in the Army, and I would say in any military branch, we understand that we worship on the Lord's Day. I'm very involved in my local church. If I can be at my local church, I'm in my local church. But in the Army and in the military, any day can be the Lord's Day. We may have missions on Sundays. I mean, when I say missions, we may be out to where we cannot be at a chapel. But you know what? That didn't stop us from pulling down the back end of a truck and getting up on the tailgate of the truck, or getting around a field where we had some security, and opening God's word and sharing together and praying together. I've done chapel services on the back of trucks. I've done chapel services in MRAPs. I've done chapel services on Hummers. Take the opportunity wherever God may present it. So understand that every day, my colonel would always say, any day could be Sunday. The chaplain, be ready. And so You certainly have the pastoral roles in doing that. And then I will say this, as a chaplain in chaplain ministry, I am so thankful for the opportunity we have to pray one for another. We often diminish, I believe diminish, and maybe I'm not including you, maybe I'm preaching to myself, but we often diminish the importance of prayer. And I could ask you, when do you pray the best? Most of you probably say you pray the best when you're in trouble. Or you pray the best before that exam comes. And I can tell you that, you know, I pray pretty intense when things blow up and people shoot too, you know. But what a resource we have to pray, to bear the burdens of those who are hurting. And I will say this, oftentimes in the ministry as well, whether it be a chaplain ministry or a local church ministry, oftentimes we are sharing with people who have no hope. The last thing I did before I left a couple weeks ago to go to Romania, but one of the last things I had to do before I left was I had to go down to Virginia and meet parents of a young man who from the National Guard who took his own life. And it's a constant problem. In the military. And, you know, in the military, I guarantee you every soldier in the military, if you say this word, suicide prevention training, they've had so much suicide prevention training, most of them tell me, "Chaplain, I wasn't thinking about it till you said those words." You know, but they've had so much of that training. But yet, there are still soldiers who take their lives. And I think you know that. I think you would agree with me. Life's a gift from God. And I like to make the most of my life. And I always tell people this, that if you ever hear Mike Allen jumped off the East Street Bridge in Parkersburg, West Virginia, I assure you somebody pushed me. Okay? I love life, and I love serving the Lord. And it doesn't mean when we say statements like this, I want you to understand, it doesn't mean that everything's easy. It doesn't mean everything goes the way I want it to go. I will tell you this, there are many times as a chaplain that I have given my input into a situation, and I didn't, the person in charge did not go with my recommendation. And at those times, all I can say is, "Sir, that was simply my recommendation." It doesn't mean you always get your way, but I'm thankful for this, that as a pastor and being able to pray and being able to share God's word, there's that peace of knowing that you are doing what God wants you to do. And I think that's in any ministry. I know I'm relating a lot with Veterans Day as a chaplain, but that's in any ministry that we face, that we can have that peace of knowing that we are doing what God wants us to do, and we're doing it for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a chaplain, there's a lot of counseling. I cannot tell you the number of families that I get calls from. In fact, one of the things we do is my wife's involved with this a lot. I do it as a chaplain. She's not necessarily there, but just to support, and she is an encouragement. But we do a lot of what's called strong bonds. They're couples retreats that we bring military couples to a location on Saturdays and Sundays, and then on Sunday morning we have a service, and then we finish the training of the couples retreat there. And our last one that we were going to had a call even before I got there from a soldier and his wife that was having difficulties. And again, I tell you this, it's imperative that you go back to the Word of God to give people the advice that can help them. Because you will always find these temptations in ministry. You know, the temptation to do things And sometimes we do things, but we need to do them in the right way and for the right motive. And so as a chaplain there, you have these opportunities to share. I've done a number of funerals where sometimes I'll get a call. So-and-so was a veteran, and they want a military service, and they don't have a pastor. Would you come and do this service? And I tell you what, it's an honor for, especially I count it. I mean, it's an honor to do it for any soldier, but for me, right now, when I get the calls to do it for like a World War II veteran, to me that's a real honor to be able to get up there and an opportunity to share Christ. And so please understand that, you know, oftentimes when we talk about the ministries and the ministries within the chaplaincy, a lot of people have the wrong idea. They think that a chaplain has to be all things to all men. And I promise you this. I don't come across as an independent fundamental pastor and then turn around and play the role of a Catholic priest. I don't do that. And no chaplain does that. I wouldn't do that because I don't believe that. And I tell you what, and people forget about this, but the Catholic Church wouldn't want you doing that either, you know. But we stand there, and we stand there for the reason of what we believe. Are times bad? Yes. Is there a constant opposition? Yes. We just, in the chaplaincy, face the issue of the same-sex marriages and the complications that brings. And again, I go back to my endorser, because my endorser says that I will never conduct a marriage seminar or wedding or anything that has to do with a same-sex couple, nor will I participate with a chaplain who does. And those things, you're thankful for your military endorser. But what I want to leave you with is, how do you stay focused? How do you stay focused in times like that? How can you do ministry? And some people say, well, you know, how do you stay in that ministry and maintain your doctrinal purity, maintain your personal holiness, maintain your testimony before the Lord? How can you be in that environment and do that? And I will say to you, first and foremost, you do that only by the grace of God. Okay? And I want you to understand that. It's not by some discipline, and believe me, in the military is very disciplined. You know, and I have to maintain that discipline. I have to maintain. Dr. Beth talked about doing it by the book. You have regulations you maintain. You know, you have physical disciplines you maintain. You know, Sunday morning before church, I met a man and ran 8 miles. And sometimes I think 8 miles, that's a long ways to run. But you know, it helps me in the end. It's that discipline of the body that you have to maintain. You know, we have to maintain weight and height standards. You know, it's discipline. And let me tell you, in our walk with the Lord, you know, because of the Spirit of God within us, we have a battle with our flesh, and it's imperative that we maintain discipline. And I find in John 15, as Dr. Anderson read, and again, I'm not here to, and my time is running out, but I want you to understand that as we have opportunities to minister, I would encourage you, first of all, always make Christ your focus. Always make Christ your focus. We see in John 15, 1, where Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. You see, we have to understand that as we minister, there are always going to be substitutes out there. There are always going to be, not only substitutes, but there are always going to be those who fail and falter. And I am thankful that as I do ministry, and I pray this in my own life, that as I serve, and I pray for you as you serve, that you will always keep Christ in the center of your life and in the center of your thoughts and focus. Because when we do that and we face temptations, we don't necessarily have to worry about doing something for position. You know, don't get me wrong, I'm thankful that I'm a major in the Army. And, you know, I'll take lieutenant colonel, I'll take full-bore colonel if they give it to me. But the reason we do it is not for position. It's for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And oftentimes we get our focus on position rather than the glory of God. Or prestige. And then understand, not only should our focus be on Christ, but our function is to bear fruit. Verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. And I think we would agree that sometimes that can be a trial. That could be ministering in hard times. But he purges it for the purpose that we might bring forth more fruit. May we focus on Christ. May we understand that as believers, we are to bear fruit for his honor, for his glory. And as we do that, may the force that guides us be the Word of God. You see, he reminds us that we were clean through the word. They were clean through the word which he spoke unto him. And I'm thankful for the cleansing effect, not only at the time of my conversion, but I'm thankful for the cleansing effect that God's word has in our lives every day. Sometimes I read the word of God and I can, you know, in the quietness of my downstairs dungeon, I can say, hallelujah, amen. Sometimes I have to say, Lord, I failed, instead of amen, oh me. But it's the Word of God that has that cleansing effect in our lives that guides us. And may we be faithful. May we be faithful to abide. May we be faithful to remain. May Christ be our source of strength. May he be our source of guidance. May he be our source of courage. When there are times where we have to make a decision. And I pray that that decision would utmost be for the glory of God and not for the glory of self. May that decision be maybe might be one that would cost us. Let me say cost us temporarily. And we see that, lastly, I just encourage you, when we fail, and I don't want, sort of hate to close on this, but I'll try to make it as positive as I can. But when we fail, may we remember that when we fail, it's not because Christ failed. When we fail, it's because we do not abide in the vine. Without him, without Christ, ye can do nothing. And yet, with Christ, we like to oftentimes use the verse by itself, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. But sometimes we know, sometimes those are tough times. Sometimes those are times in the valley. Sometimes those are times on the mountaintop. But I'm thankful I serve a Savior who is faithful. I'm thankful that I serve a Savior who cares. And who desires my best for his glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time together this morning. Lord, I thank you for these students. I just ask you just continue to lead and guide and direct in their lives. Lord, draw us closer to you each day. Conform us more to your image today. Again, we just thank you for the opportunities that we have to live in a country that's free, to have your word, and Lord, that you have established our bodies and created create us to be here for such a time as this. Again, Lord, we simply ask that you use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.